God, thank you for being not only our God, but our Heavenly Father, who wisely and lovingly teaches us everything we need to know to do life in this world and in the world to come. And we pray that you will help us to value this wisdom this morning as we hear you speak to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm wondering this morning how many of you grew up with proverbs in your household? How many of you grew up, you know, with your parents having, you know, given you short, memorable sayings that were passed on from previous generations? One of the challenges in our context is, you know, a lot of us are sort of cross-cultural in the sense that, you know, we... those of us from Asian backgrounds have had wise sayings, but could not be translated or passed on into English. But I just wondering, did your parents teach you any proverbs at all? Or sayings? Yeah? Did you? Yeah? Okay, cool. I'm wondering if you would share any of the proverbs that you were taught, or any that you know. Anyone... want to volunteer any proverbs? Any short, memorable, wise sayings?
Mine are in Vietnamese.
Yeah, you can say in Vietnamese and translate, right? Yeah.
Which makes sense, yeah. Which basically means, I guess like the English equivalent is to have an ability, those with disability have an ability.
Okay, yeah, right, okay, yeah. Very empowering. Those with a disability have an ability. Okay, great. Any others? Yeah, Marisha?
That's Hathinaka,
the fact that Hathinaka. So it's, you know, a seed, by a seed, you're able to tell about food that's going to bear. Okay, yeah.
So, you know, in particular,
the
kids, how they are in this moment,
and
how they're
looking after. Yeah. Little things grow up into big things. Yeah. Of a similar nature, yeah. Any others?
It's a blessing to give rather than to receive.
Better to give than to receive. Oh, okay.
It's
good. So I wasn't taught many, but I did ask my grandmother much, you know, if she had any wise sayings, and I actually learned one or two in Cantonese. So one that I remember, it goes something like this: "Fat chi jie, fat chui." And that basically means what you don't know doesn't cause you any guilt. So you're innocent if you're ignorant about that matter. But anyway, so that's really interesting. It's good to hear the different proverbs from different parts of the world. But you know, there's other ones we're all familiar with, aren't there? Like, the early bird catches the worm. Better a bird in one hand than two in a bush. Haste makes waste. So they're all proverbs. They're all short, wise sayings. And in fact, the whole Bible is full of wisdom, full of wisdom and knowledge that are worth remembering and reciting and teaching to one another. But in particular, the book of Proverbs, as we're looking at it this morning, is a book that's specifically designed to boil down key insights, key God-centered insights for life into short two-liners, into memorable phrases that will help us to do life well. And so this is what the book of Proverbs is all about. It's all about doing life well. And it's similar to, you know, other books or other collections. One of the famous collections of wise sayings is called The Art of War by Sun Tzu. And it's a whole list of collection of sayings that give you wisdom for how to wage war effectively against your enemy. But there are two key differences about the book of Proverbs. Proverbs covers an incredibly wide range of topics, especially in chapters 10 to 31. Proverbs covers a wide range of topics, covering topics like money, parenting, family, relationships, wealth, contentment, work, friendship. But the second, even more important difference in the book of Proverbs is that it has a God-centered view of the universe. It has a God-centered view of the world in which God continues to rule over a moral universe. And just as a quick introduction to Proverbs, it can be divided into these two major parts, chapters 1 to 9, which are an extended appeal to value wisdom. And this month, over January, we'll be focusing on these first 9 chapters, which are extended appeals, fatherly appeals to value wisdom, to seek wisdom, to apply wisdom, God's wisdom, in your life. And then chapters 10 to 31 are a collection of short, memorable, wise sayings. Again, mostly parallel two-liners, which give us wisdom from God's point of view. And I want to just share briefly two examples of them. One is from chapter 15. The better a small serving of vegetables with love than a fattened calf with hatred. Now these proverbs, as you look at them, are ones that are not only memorable and engaging and short, but they also require thought. They require reflection and application. Because it's easy to spout off a proverb, but for it to make no difference to your life, to make no change in your life, but they're meant to change you. They're meant to give you a different perspective. They're meant to give you wisdom that you apply to your life. And so to the wisdom or the observation and the insight here is that it's better to have a small income. It's better to have a small meal. It's better to have a little with where there is love, where there is a close-knit family, where there is contentment, than to have a fattened calf, than to have a great feast, than to have wealth that you can't spend your whole life, that you won't have time your whole life to spend, where there is hatred and anxiety and fear, where there are addictions, where there are multiple marriage breakdowns. So it's a contrast of two competing values, two competing lifestyles, which directly challenge what we normally think and live. But if we adopt this perspective, we will value relationships and people and family and friendship far more than the pursuit of financial security and wealth. So here's a wisdom that God gives us. And it's a wisdom that's simply, it's true. It's observable. You can see it around you. But this proverb is in the context, again, of the knowledge of the God who rules the universe. And so here's another very similar proverb, which makes explicit the biblical and God-centered worldview. See, better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. See, better a little with a relationship with God, with a knowledge of God, with a fear of God, with an obedience to God and a dependence on Him. Better a little with a fear of the Lord than great wealth with a life of trouble and hardship. Because wealth itself doesn't guarantee contentment. Wealth itself doesn't guarantee peace. But knowing God and living His way is, and with contentment, is far better. So anyway, this is just a very quick introduction to the book of Proverbs. And I want to encourage, because we're actually not going to, at this point, go into all the short sayings in chapters 10 to 31. And I want to give you a bit of a taster to encourage you. If you've never read Proverbs, if there's anything you want to memorize, if there's anything you want to pass on to your kids or to each other, the book of Proverbs, the wise saying that God has passed on to us, are far worth learning than any other things that you will remember or not remember in life. So let me encourage you, open up the book of Proverbs, begin reading it, absorb it, and enjoy it. And let it change your life. Let it mold your thinking and your values. Now going on to chapter 2, which Will read for us, this is again a part of the first 9 chapters, all of which are an appeal to value wisdom, to pursue wisdom. And it's the context of a father giving his son fatherly instruction about life and how to do life well in the world. Now, in the first century, what's unique about that time compared to ours is that fathers and parents understood themselves as to be not only providers for their children and their household, but they understood their responsibility as teachers. They took on their role seriously. They taught their children everything that they knew that would be valuable to them. And this was important because, see, what the fathers did and what the mothers did are what the sons and the daughters would normally do. If you were a baker, your children would also be bakers. If you were a metal worker, your children would be metal workers. If you were a farmer, your children would be farmers. And so it was most natural for parents then to take on their role as teachers. They would not delegate the role of education to another institution. It would be their role. They would spend that time teaching them everything that they know, all the skills that they themselves have been taught and they learnt in experience. And I actually think it's one of the great losses of modern society, one of the great losses of the Industrial Revolution, where work is fragmented and work no longer is directly tied to your family. But the loss really is the loss of that connection between parents and children and the passing on of life skills, which I think would not only add value to children, but adds value to parents. It teaches you that you yourself have a lot to offer and to pass on. Why waste all those years of experience? Why waste everything that you've learned and simply delegate that primary education role to a school or to a university? You and I, by what we have learned, by what we have been taught, have much to offer. So here is the context of Proverbs 2. The context of a father taking seriously his role to teach his son. It's a father and son teaching context. And what the father wants to teach his son is a specific attitude towards learning. An attitude towards pursuing wisdom and being a learner in how to do life well. And as we look at this, I'm going to break this up into 3 parts. The first is that the father teaches the son the posture to adopt as a learner. Secondly, what the son will find when he adopts his posture. And thirdly, the practical benefits of wisdom. The practical benefits of wisdom. So verses 1 to 4, here's the posture to adopt. My son, if you accept my words and store my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding. And if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Now, the father is teaching his son this particular posture to wisdom. And it's not just any wisdom, it's not just any words. It's the words of this Bible-believing, God-fearing man who's been given these inspired words to teach his son. So he says, if you teach my words, you see, and store up my commands within you. He's calling his son to take his words seriously, to accept his word, to store up his commands within him. Wisdom that comes from God himself. And the posture he needs to take is to be an attentive listener. Not only to hear with his ears, but to learn and apply with his heart. It's not just to go in one ear and out the other, but it's to be ingested and digested and integrated into his inner being. It's to call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding. It's a picture of a student, an overly zealous student who's constantly putting his hands up and asking questions, writing down notes, never satisfied until he or she have gotten the answer or gained that insight. It's a picture of a passionate treasure hunter who absolutely knows there's treasure to be found. It's a bit like, you know, one of those treasure hunters with a metal detector, you know, going along the beach day in and day out, not stopping, not tiring until he or she finds that hidden treasure. This is the posture that this godly father calls his son to have towards wisdom. I recently watched an interview of Warren Buffett. He's now 86, worth over $70 billion. And he's known, unanimously known as the most successful investor of the 20th century. And if you're an investor, whether you're a novice or whether you're experienced, Warren Buffett is the investment guru. He's the person to look to. He's the person to learn from. He's the wise man of investing. If you want any wisdom for wealth creation, Warren Buffett would be a great place to go. And one of the questions that was asked of him in this interview was this: and how do you spend your day? What wisdom can we learn to know how you spend your day? And you know, he now doesn't have to work. He can do whatever he wants. But he said, you know, he's not someone who likes meetings. He goes to a very minimum number of meetings. But what he does do, what he invests his time in doing, is in reading. He said he spends 5 hours a day just reading. He reads the papers. He reads the magazines. He reads books. He reads biographies. He reads books on a whole range of different subjects. So that, you know, even as successful as he is, this wise investor guru man maintains a posture of a learner, of a student. And you know, if you and I want to be wise, if we want to do life well, this is the posture that we need to adopt for ourselves. It is that of an attentive and active learner of God's word. Not just passively hearing, opening our ears, but engaging with our hearts. Not just reading the Bible and skimming over, but actively asking questions of the Bible and its implications for our lives. And searching it out as for hidden treasure. Seeking and asking and applying. What is the attitude that you have? What is the habit that you have developed? What is your relationship with God's Word? Do you see yourself as an avid and serious learner and applier of the wisdom that He reveals through His Word? What is it that you pray for when you begin, when you open your Bible, or when you come to church on Sundays, or when you go to community group? What is the attitude of your heart? Here's a great prayer by, I think it was written by Thomas Cranmer, who wrote the original Anglican prayer book. And he wrote this prayer as a preparation, a heart preparation for the reading and the hearing of Scripture. And I think it's a great prayer, especially the underlying part, which I will be emphasizing. But let me read this prayer to you. Blessed Lord, who caused all Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. See, here is the prayer of a man who is serious about God's Word. And it's a prayer in which we pray that we would hear and read. The starting point is actually to open your Bibles, to open your ears to God's Word, to make it a priority, to be in the hearing of God's Word in your life, in your week, and in your day. Hear and read God's Word, God's wisdom. Secondly, mark it. Mark what you read. In other words, emphasize what you read. Highlight what you read. Don't just skim or glance over it. Thirdly, learn. Be a learner. Gain, seek insight, clarity. Discover new truths or enjoy old truths. Fourthly, inwardly digest. Integrate and apply it to your lives. That is the true purpose of Proverbs, especially the Proverbs and the wise sayings of Scripture. They are to be integrated and applied. God's Word does you no good if you only hear it and then forget it afterwards. If it goes in one ear and goes out the other. And what we're being taught here, you see, is that God's Word or God's wisdom is not like music that can be downloaded off the internet and then stored for future use. It's not like medicine that can be injected into your bloodstream and do you good in that way. No, it's wisdom that needs to bypass your mind and then go into your heart and then transform your life. And for this to happen, it takes focused attention. It takes a commitment to saying no to other things, to other distractions, but to saying yes to listening, to learning, and to applying. It requires taking personal responsibility. Even Jesus says, after Jesus tells the parable of the sower, Jesus says, let he who has ears, let him hear. And what Jesus is saying is, don't just hear and walk away, but hear and think and understand and apply. This is the posture. This is the first great word of wisdom from this teacher of Proverbs, from this father to his son. The posture to adopt is the posture of a passionate, attentive, and active learner of God's Word as it is being taught from this Father. And if you do adopt this posture, what is it that you will find? If you are a serious learner of God's Word, what is the treasure that you will discover? And it's here in verse 5. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You will understand, you will learn that at the heart of the universe is a personal and powerful God. A God who cares intimately about His creation. A God who not only created every part of this universe, but also sustains it moment by moment. So that every movement of our bodies, every breath of our lungs is dependent on our Creator and Sustainer God. And at the heart of this universe is a powerful and personal God who is also holy. His holiness means that He is utterly opposed to evil and injustice and oppression in every way. And He's a God who has revealed Himself through His words. And so, the fear of the Lord, as we understand, as we know who God is actually a right response to Him. It's not just an agreement that God exists. I believe in God. He exists. The fear of the Lord is a right response to Him in which we submit our lives to Him. Where we accept His rightful rule over our lives. We come to Him, come to His words in fear and trembling. Where we are deeply committed to obeying Him, to living in dependence on Him, and to being in a right relationship with Him. This is the fear of the Lord. If we seek wisdom, we find God. And we find a God in Him who brings us into relationship with Himself. And when you find God, this is also what you will find. You will receive wisdom and knowledge from Him. Verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For He guards the course of the just and protects the way of His faithful ones. See, from the Lord comes wisdom. See, everything we know depends on God revealing to us. Whether it's in science or philosophy, or archaeology or physiology, whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, all wisdom and knowledge finds its ultimate source in God. Even Sun Tzu received wisdom from God. He's the God who created everything. He knows everything, and He knows how things best function. But the particular kind of wisdom that Proverbs here is talking about is not just wisdom that's there, that's recorded on paper, but it's the wisdom to live life well. This is what it means when it says, from the Lord comes wisdom. For the Lord gives wisdom. He gives wisdom for life. Life that transforms. Life that changes. Life that enables us to do life well. God is our Heavenly Father who wants the very best for us and gives us His word and His wisdom. And the promise is this, that as we live in the fear of the Lord, as we live His way, it always produces the best long-term results. As it says, God Himself is a guarantor of that. He holds success in store for the upright. He guards the course of the just. So here's the logic then of this passage. If you seek wisdom, you'll find God. And when you find God, you'll find wisdom. You'll find wisdom for living. The best posture to adopt is a posture of a passionately attentive and active learner of His word, seeking God's treasure. It will bring us to know God and all the wisdom He has to teach us. And then thirdly, the last part of this chapter are all the practical benefits of wisdom. And the author or the father teaching his son gives four main categories of wisdom's benefits. And let me just listen for you. I'm not going to go through them all in detail, but I will focus on the last part. So as we're looking at verses 9 to 11, the first thing we'll get is that we'll learn to delight in the right path. You see, you'll be like a golfer who has been an attentive learner of a master coach. And as you practice and apply that golf swing, you'll begin enjoying golf. You'll be enjoying the newfound skill you have learned. You'll delight in doing things God's way. See, true wisdom comes when we delight in doing wisdom. True wisdom comes when we delight in doing what God teaches us. When it's not just a drudgery or a burden or a law, but we delight in it. That's where wisdom truly takes hold in your life and my life. When you and I delight in God's word and we delight in doing God's word. Second benefit is that you'll be saved from immoral company. Verses 12 to 15. You'll avoid the traps and the troubles of those who are corrupt, those who are immoral, those who live in deception. Thirdly, you'll be saved from sexual immorality. The short-term pleasures that turn into long-term pain and broken relationships. And fourthly, you will remain in the land. This is 20 to 22. Let me read this to you. Thus you'll walk in the ways of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn from it. One of the great promises of God in the Old Testament is the promise of the land that is given to his people as an inheritance. And it is the great treasured possession that the Israelites were given. For the Israelites, as they received this land from God, the land was not only their livelihood, though it was their home. It was not only their home, it was their security and a sign of God's blessing to them, that God was with them and would protect them and would be their God. And so if that's the great promise and blessing of the Old Testament to receive this land, then the great curse of the Old Testament is to be removed from the land, to be removed not only from their livelihood or from their home, but to be cut off from God, to be cut off from God's blessing, to be cut off ultimately from life itself. And so this is the promise, you see. This is how we need to understand this promise, that if you take this posture of a learner and you find God and you live out God's wisdom, you will remain in the land, you will have life and the blessing of God. The upright, those who attentively and actively apply God's word in their lives, will remain in the land. They'll have a secure future. And they'll be blessed not only in this life, but in the life to come. And that the promise is the same for us today. This is the promise of God's word. See, physical training, Paul says, has some value. But godliness has value and profit and gain, both for this life and for the life to come. Training in godliness, training in God's wisdom, will make a difference. Will not only change you, but will bless you in this life and in life eternal. Seek wisdom and you'll find God. Find God, you'll find wisdom. Find wisdom and you'll have life. You'll have true and lasting life with God and with God's people. So how can we apply this today? What are some key take-home points? I'm going to finish with these two words of application. Under the headings, words of life and words of transformation. The first point for us to take home is this. God wants you to live the best life possible in a dependent and enjoyable relationship with Himself. God wants you to have the best life possible in a dependent, obedient, and secure relationship with Himself. And to have the best life possible doesn't mean that there will be no suffering or no hardship in this life. But it'll mean we will know God's presence. We'll always know God's provision. We'll know God's power to face whatever hardships we face. We'll know how to live life well. We'll be able to make the best decisions no matter what we face in life. God's wisdom enables you to make the best decisions. You'll know where you stand with God. You'll know how He wants you to live and how He wants you to flourish. You'll be clear on your ultimate purpose and value and security. You'll know that it comes from God even as you live with Him. So that the starting point to receiving God's wisdom then is to know God. And it's to know God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that there's no other way by which we can have this relationship except through Jesus. Through His death for you, which He paid for your sins on the cross, so that you could be forgiven and be brought into a right relationship with Him as His son and as His daughter. God wants you to have the best possible life in relationship with Him through Jesus. Secondly, the words, God's words have been given to us not only to save us, but to transform us. See, why is it that you open your Bibles each week? Why is it that you come to church? It is to be renewed in the attitude of your minds. It's to be made more and more like Christ. See, God is working out His project in each one of us. A process of transforming every one of us to be more wise, to be more mature, to be more and more a true reflection of His Son. And that is the purpose of God's Word. That's the purpose in which we strive after wisdom. That's why we live out our identity in the fear and trembling of the Lord, where we take God's Word with absolute seriousness. See, God works in us. See, Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, because it is God who works in you. Grow in the wisdom of God, because it is God who gives you His wisdom. And what it means is that God's intention and purpose is not for us just to be passive learners, passively growing Christians. God wants each of us to be actively pursuing growth and wisdom and repentance and godliness in our lives. And the question is, how seriously have you taken on that responsibility? How seriously have I taken on that responsibility? To be not only a teacher or a reader, but to be a student and a learner of His Word. God gives you His Word, but you and we together are called to passionately strive to learn it, to apply it, to be committed to growing personally. Now, I shared last year, one of the habits that I have adopted, which is no Bible, no breakfast. That would be a good proverb in itself. And I think it's one great way that I've found to begin the day receiving wisdom from God, and to begin enjoying that day. Now, it doesn't mean that I always get the most that I can get out of the Bible. It's not that I always enjoy everything that I read, but it is a habit that will ensure that bit by bit I will always be in hearing and learning of God's Word. And another habit that I've decided to take up this year is to increase the amount in which I read. Because I know that, you know, for myself, and I believe for most of us, reading actually helps you to grow. Reading books helps you to grow. To grow your mind, grow your knowledge, grow your understanding of God's Word. Reading not just any book, but good books that help you. And so one of my goals is to consistently read not just books that I have to read, not just for sermon preparation or Bible study. I want to read consistently for my own personal growth and wisdom in God's Word and apply to life. And so in order to do that, to make it extremely achievable, my goal this year is to read at least 2 pages every day. To consistently read a book. Not just read an article, listen to a talk, but read through a book, to finish a book, to consistently read 2 pages a day, every day, and that's achievable. So they're two of the ways that I will be seeking to grow this year. But the question for you is, what will you do? What will it look like for you to obey this instruction from God, to be a passionate and an active learner of His Word? What is one thing you need to do? What is one thing you need to stop doing? What is one thing you need to start doing? What is one habit that you need to cultivate to adopt this posture, to gain wisdom, to know God, to live wisdom, and to have life, God's life that He intends for you? Let me pray. Father, we thank You once more for what a great and loving and wise God You are. A God who is ever wanting to teach us, wanting to pour out all of your wisdom into our hearts and our minds and our lives. And a God and a wisdom that we so often neglect and devalue and leave on the shelf, on the back of our minds. But Lord, we thank You for this call and this reminder to value this priceless and great treasure that You have given to us, the wisdom that comes from You. So we pray that You Yourself would, by Your Holy Spirit, move us, that You would challenge us, that You would help us to repent of complacency and of laziness, of taking for granted everything that You have already given us and continue to give. And help us to value even more this wisdom by learning it, by applying it to our lives, by growing together this year as people who reflect more and more the wisdom that You have given to us in Your Word and through Your Son. So help us to delight more and more in Your Word this year. Help us to increase our experience of the life, the good life You have planned for us. And we pray all this for the glory and the goodness and the great name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.